Hello and welcome to the Green Way Outdoors podcast. My name's Kyle.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Jeff. What is this?
Yeah, we're know, sitting out of order because AJ isn't here.
And, where's AJ?
And I feel really bad because our guest Wendy, who's I'm going to introduce in 1 second, she's sitting here waiting for us, and we're actually punctual today. We're already all sitting in here, and then every problem with the soundboard happened.
Yes.
What I think happened was AJ sabotaged it before he left because he wanted to be needed.
Yeah.
Job
yeah.
security.
But he also doesn't answer.
But he also wanted to punish us by not answering his phone.
Which is exactly what happened. So we are joined by Wendy, and her website is nutritionwithwendy.com, and I wanted to start with that. We did a podcast a couple weeks ago, and you probably saw it because on all of our platforms across socials, we had over 1 million views and impressions on the different clips and reels and shorts and stuff like that that we did, where we had kind of a debate with a prominent vegan. And I almost like am careful of saying the word vegan almost like it's a swear now because you just don't want to lump a bunch of people in.
Yeah.
But we had a really great debate, and what we really talked about was sustainability, as far as like how it could work for the climate, how it could work for the ecosystem, what would happen with farming. And it got me thinking too, is like we really didn't touch on the nutrition, and I'm not an expert enough to be able to. I do a ton of research. I'm obsessed with nutrition. I'm very careful about what I put in my body. But I'm not well-versed enough to be able to argue the fact that he's like, well, I take a multivitamin, I'm good, you don't need meat. And I was like, I know a lot of people that think they're good and aren't. And I also know that, like, there was something that Ryan and I had a debate about after, too, where it was like he had made a comment in the podcast where he was saying vegans tend to be healthier than non-vegans. His point, which I eventually got through my thick head, was that they're very conscious of what they eat because they have to be, so it tends to be they're more healthy than the average American who eats McDonald's and garbage every day of the week.
Yes.
Which I can understand. But my point was the most beneficial diet and the best beneficial diet, like the ultimate human, would consume meat, and I would always want to be the best. I wouldn't want to compare myself to the guy that eats McDonald's or something like that. Mm-hmm. So that's
why
I was
pointing at me when you said that.
That didn't mean anything specific.
Not like anyone who eats McDonald's and is a piece of crap. And
you're not eating McDonald's, are you?
No.
Okay, good.
No, I'm down 10 pounds in the last month and a half.
Dang, okay. Dude, nice.
That's awesome. Are you eating it all then?
It's not as hard for me. I was bigger to start. But, you know.
Every time I've eaten, well, the last 3 times I've had McDonald's fries, I've puked.
Actually yeah. threw up?
Actually, I have pictures of it.
Why are you taking pictures? Why are you taking pictures?
It's so crazy that my body just straight rejects it. As soon as it's in, my body is like, no.
Well, that said, it got me thinking, like, well, hold on a second. I want to talk about the health benefits and how to navigate what we actually should be eating, but we need an expert. Now, I've known Wendy since 2019, and she's got a lot of letters after her name and her signature.
What have I told? I know that your last name is Green, but what have I told you about making fun of other people's last names just because there's a lot of letters in them?
No, that's not. No, her titles and her credentials are very impressive. And now her background, her family actually was in the farming industry. She worked in the milk industry. And then obviously she's super, super well versed on everything nutrition. So without further ado, I wanted to bring Wendy in kind of because if I'm wrong, I want to know I'm wrong. But if I'm right, mm-hmm. I for sure want to rub it in everyone's face. So we're bringing Wendy in to help us with that. So Wendy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Kyle, and the Greenway Outdoors. It's exciting to be here to share the science, and facts don't care about our feelings. And that's what's beautiful about the data is it does not lie.
I love that you said facts don't care about feelings because I say that all the time. All the time. it's almost
like they don't.
It's not always well received by the family, but I do say it all the time. And I want you to kind of do a deep dive into your credentials, your background, and kind of navigate to where we are just to, for nothing else, to prove what you say is true.
Sure. So as far as my background, I am a registered dietitian nutritionist, licensed dietitian, certified sports nutritionist, and I have a Master of Science in Food and Human Nutritional Sciences, 2 undergrad degrees. All those credentials and the experience running my own private practice, all of that really doesn't mean anything unless I can get that person across from me to change their lifestyle, get them results. And I think what we're finding in our industry, it doesn't really matter what industry you're in, people don't care about your credentials or your expertise. They just care, can you get me results? Can you get me the solution to my problems? And that's why we're facing so much misinformation and nonsense out there from charlatans, because they have this special playbook and they create lies and fear-mongering. And what we do is we provide that clarity to educate and empower based on the data. So specifically, you know, in nutrition, people can be nutritionists. You guys could all be nutritionists because in certain states like Michigan, you don't technically need to be a registered dietitian to talk about nutrition. So we just have some issues of scope of practice and people, you know, swimming outside their lane, if you will. And the problem is just people are confused, they're lost, and they want some holy grail and a diet to follow. So that's where people fall into these silos, whether it's carnivore, keto, vegan. It's just really concerning because the best diet really is the one that you can stick with and reduces your risk of disease, death, inflammation. So I can get very tangential, but I just think that people don't really care about your credentials. So whenever I speak to groups or coach people, you know, our credentials may get us in the door, but at the end of the day, they're going to go with the person that can get them a result. So that could even be an influencer, but unfortunately, influencers don't really care about the data.
Yeah. Again, they care about pushing the product or whatever else they might be doing. One of the things that I wanted to talk to you first on is your background with milk, because milk is one of the ones where people do say is terrible, or they say it's good, or you need to stay away from dairy, or you should have dairy. I wanted you to talk about milk specifically, just because you're probably one of the most well-versed people on the planet when it comes to it.
Oh, well, I would disagree with that, but I have some
No pressure.
experience.
Yeah.
We like to stay humble, but I worked for the Dairy Council for about a year, and I grew up in southeastern Minnesota. My dad's a crop farmer. He runs a trucking business. You know, we were surrounded by farmers, and you know, Kyle, a lot of people in my experience that I've talked to have never been on a farm. They have zero idea what happens. And when I worked for the Dairy Council, I have probably been on over 1,000 dairy farms at this point. And every single farm that I was on, I was blown away by the amount of care that cows receive, because that's the product, right? And a lot of people think that cows are treated, you know, inhumane and poorly. But the reality is, cows are treated better than humans. We treat our cows better than veterans. We throw our veterans on the street and don't feed them, don't take care of them. But cows get cow care. They are very well treated. And really, what it comes down to is that dairy has gotten a lot of poor information being promoted by influencers because they lack the awareness. Dairy is one of the most highest quality protein sources. It contains leucine, which is the number one driver for muscle protein synthesis. So when people argue that dairy is bad for us, I have to first off ask more questions. Is it the lactose that you're sensitive to? Are you intolerant to it? Are you allergic to it? So lactose, the cows are the milk sugar, if you will. Lactose-free milk is available. Greek yogurt is naturally low in lactose. People can tolerate it. But the data is very clear. There's over 52 research studies supporting that dairy decreases risk of cardiovascular disease, inflammation, type 2 diabetes, obesity. It's when people don't consume the high quality dairy sources, as in Yoplait or some Go-Go squeeze, which is not even true cow's milk or dairy. It's
If
like
it,
processed nonsense,
there you go,
right? It's
Ryan. Your
sugar.
go-go squeezes are out now.
I never even heard of go-go squeeze.
Well, if your yogurt comes with sprinkles, something's wrong, okay?
What,
No,
when
just
you freeze, when you freeze them and
kidding.
they make the little push pops.
What is a go-go?
It's
It's
like,
a
I think she's
go-gurt.
not saying go-gurt on purpose,
Yeah.
but now
Oh.
you made me say it. But go
Oh.
ahead, Wendy, sorry.
Oh, no, you're right. And that's the thing. So if you read labels, you'll see in the store, you know, kefir, Greek yogurt, cow's milk. So just from a nutrient comparison, cow's milk, you would have to consume 8 cups of almond milk to get the equivalent of 1 cup of cow's milk. And almond milk doesn't contain as much calcium, vitamin D. It also doesn't contain leucine. It's more expensive. If you look at the ingredient list in comparison, you're spending more money for less nutrition and it's less quality ingredients. So I just don't understand that perspective when you present it to the consumer and they're still like, I'm going to use almond milk, despite the ingredients in the almond milk or a plant-based alternative have been associated with inflammation, versus cow's milk has actually been associated with a reduction in inflammation.
Wow. Yeah, I think like it's as simple probably as like people are like, oh, almonds are healthy. I'll have almond milk instead of milk because I hear milk is bad. Like, it's probably that simple, but that's the misinformation. It's kind of like the culture over time. One is like something I see when it comes to like the dairy stuff is you see them like, you're drinking this much pus per ounce of, like, that's the thing. I see it.
Yeah, no,
and
yes.
they're like, you're drinking blood and pus.
Bug parts.
Yeah, and bug parts. And it's like disgusting. My family was dairy farmers in Wisconsin. And I'm like, well, that's not really how it looked there. And they're like, they put these things on them. And it's so bad for them when they're taking the milk from them. And it's like they get so inflamed and they're always in pain. And then, like, I go to my family's farm. I'm like, it's not like that at all.
The other thing, like, to point of being like the pus and grossness of things.
Pus.
We've said pus more on this podcast than we have in any other podcast combined.
Pus well, is a rough word.
It like, whenever someone brings up like gross points like that, I'm like, how many people do you know that have been hurt by pus?
Right. Like, right. Yeah.
Or like, if you like turn it around and be like, how many people do you know who are actually affected by that? It's not a legitimate.
Yeah. How many pus eaters you got?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
What are the side effects of pus?
So anyhow, let's go back to Wendy because this is getting gross. But yeah, that's like, it's, she knows what she got into when she was with us. But that's like what people talk about, is they try to make it like this disgusting thing that you're terrible to drink. It's what you're saying is that the health benefits are there and it actually helps with inflammation.
Absolutely. And another part of that too is the casein protein, the whey protein. So if we compare pea protein versus whey protein, you have significantly more leucine in your whey protein than you do the pea protein. And there's a 2015 study published in the International Society of Sports Nutrition. That journal, everybody should, it's free access, go check it out. They did a comparison from a muscle protein synthesis standpoint. There were similar effects with both the pea protein and the whey protein, but that's because you had to double essentially the pea protein amount to get the same response with strength training, of course, combined. But that's what my point is, that you have to consume significantly more of the plant-based alternatives to get the same response as you would from the whey or casein protein. So whey being fast digesting and then casein slow digesting. So I have no skin in the game. I'm not paid by big dairy, despite these people online that say you're paid off by the beef industry or the creatine industry, or yeah. I have no ties. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a small business owner. I grew up in the ag department. I support our farmers and they're trying to feed us, and we need to start treating them with more respect.
100%.
I would say that, you're probably the smartest person we've had on the podcast based on conversation so far. I think Ryan's a little intimidated. He raised his hand. Ryan, do you have a question?
I do have a question. This might be a dumb question, but what is muscle protein synthesis?
Yeah, so basically hypertrophy, growth from the skeletal muscle, right? So if you know, we work with a lot of athletes too. So everybody though should care about muscle. Everyone, you guys sitting in the room, aging adults, right? Sarcopenia is age-related muscle loss. We need as much skeletal muscle on our frame as possible because it protects our bones. So if you start to lose, so men, for every decade after 40, they're losing 8% of their lean mass. Whoa. So that significantly, right, raises your risk for disease, fractures as we get older, osteoporosis. So you want to get as much lean mass on your body as possible in your youth. And that's the best way to do it, right? Is to consume beef, chicken, fish, steak, eggs, dairy. Because as we get older, right, we're losing that. So muscle protein synthesis is stimulated by leucine, isoleucine, and valine. So those are the three BCAAs. And people think, right, that you can consume a supplement. It's the same thing. It is not the same thing. So that's why we have to actually eat, you know, the food. And what I love about what you guys do is you actually teach about conservation, and our kids who are so confused, they think their food comes from a box.
Right.
You're teaching them like hunt it and eat it and use all of it, right? And don't waste it. I love what you guys do.
Thank you.
There's a lot of adults that think that too.
I know. Yeah. Based on, yes. You look at our Facebook the last couple of weeks, it's
how dare you kill that animal? Why don't you just go to the store to get meat like everyone else?
People have literally said that.
To be fair, like, the amount of, like, that is obviously a stupid comment. Like, mm-hmm. That's, like, insane to say. And I used to be like, well, when people would say, like, oh, so-and-so said this, I'm like, they didn't really say that. Like, no one's actually saying that. But now
people
I have to face reality that on
that.
Our Facebook, people are saying it. And that's really sad. And that brings us to the next point, is meat. So, obviously, I've kind of taken to highlighting a little bit more about what I'm eating on a daily basis. Today, we made pheasant that we shot in South Dakota with organic organic bell peppers, and I seared them in a pan. I want to know if this is okay. I used like cold pressed or something like that, organic extra virgin coconut oil. Is that okay?
Absolutely. Okay. Well, first off, all foods fit. I like coconut oil because it's a medium chain triglyceride and it has a positive influence for our insulin levels. But technically, it is a saturated fat. And we know that an excess of saturated fat can be problematic. I'm not against saturated fat. I think that all foods fit and we need to have a certain amount of fat in our diet. But I do think that for some people who don't eat any vegetables, Kyle, right? But you had vegetables in that meal. So I think that's great. But I think for some people, they would benefit from a reduction in some of the saturated fat just because they're eating a lot of New York strips. There's some people out there that they eat at breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and they eat no vegetables.
Yeah. And that kind of brings us up to the meat portion. So we have heard a lot of things about, obviously, the wild game that we get. We eat a ton of red meat. Right now we have moose, we have bison, bear.
Bison.
Pronghorn.
Mm-hmm. Alligator.
Yep. And all kinds of fish. I guess for us, I eat a lot of red meat in general. I'm probably eating venison or bison or one of the red meats, wild game all, at least once or twice a day. What are the benefits of that, or what are the things that I need to watch out for as far as how I'm cooking it, how much I should be eating it, that sort of thing?
It depends. Any good practitioner would say that just because our health history, that matters, our genetics, all the things. But I would say bison, number one, is excellent because there's actually less saturated fat and there's more B12, zinc, and iron in bison than flank steak, which I think you eat a lot of really great meats and they are a leaner cut. So I would never be concerned about anybody eating red meat, you know, 2 to 3 times per day. It would be more so, you know, the big picture. Are you eating vegetables? Are you working out? Are you getting enough sleep? Are you drinking alcohol? What are the other environmental factors that influence, you know, how we digest things as well? Because stress can also cause inflammation in the body too. Cortisol, lack of testosterone, all these things are influenced by what we eat. So you're eating wild game, which I love wild game. I grew up hunting and fishing. And back to your comment about, I posted when I was like 12 years old, I posted a deer photo of the doe that I shot. And then we had my brother had his buck in there and we were talking about like the back straps, which are delicious. And people were like calling me a murderer. And I was just like,
A 12-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Like, you're a monster. Yeah, and meanwhile, like, you only knew it as food. You know what I mean? It's like, what are you talking about?
Just as God intended.
The Greenway Outdoors is brought to you by Ram Trucks, built to serve. Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, your adventure starts here. Savage Arms, better come standard. Nosler Ammunition, world's finest bullets, ammunition, and brass. Boss Shot Shells, superior made and American made. Carlson's choke tubes, the only choke tube we've ever purchased. Onyx Hunt, know where you stand.
If you want to be here, it all starts here. At Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, we have the widest selection of the quality brands you love to get you outdoors. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, our friendly, knowledgeable outfitters will help you find the right products for your next trip. Shop with confidence with our low price guarantee. Plus, club members save even more on great gear with exclusive member pricing. Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, voted America's best outdoor retailer.
Legends aren't born, they're created. Introducing impulse from Savage. The all-new American-made straight-pull bolt-action rifle. Unmatched innovation. Fast reloads. Maximized efficiency. Repeatable accuracy. Welcome to American Straight Pull. Only from Savage.
So just going back to your, you know, intake, just like anyone else, when I'm asked, like, what's the best diet or is it okay if I do this? You know, we do a consultation with people. I would need to know what your labs look like because our labs always tell us a screenshot of exactly what's going on right now. So, for example, Kyle, you know, you could have very healthy testosterone, cholesterol, blood glucose levels, and then they could change in 6 months. You know, maybe you're less active, you have more stress. There could be a surplus of things that could happen. You could get your labs drawn and those numbers could look very different. But I think for the majority of people who consume a lot of beef, chicken, fish, steak, eggs, and then of course plants and they're active, their labs tend to be quite healthy. It's those that are eating a lot of processed foods, a lot of sugar. And I'm not talking about the sugar in fruit. I'm talking about processed added sugars, which can greatly raise our cholesterol levels as well, more so than eggs. We need a certain amount of cholesterol to clot our blood and to keep us alive, which people don't really understand. But
yeah, you, when you,
that's a whole nother point.
Whenever you hear cholesterol, it's a red flag to people. So in comparing what we were being told last, you know, a couple weeks ago where he's like, I just take a multivitamin and I'm completely healthy. What is, like you said, it depends on the person, so it's kind of hard to give a specific thing, but like, what are you seeing or what would you anticipate the tendencies being? Like, what is being missed in the vegan diet and what are we maybe overdoing on our side, I guess would be my question, is like, what is the happy middle?
We work with vegan athletes too. And I just want anyone who listens to this, I'm not against anyone following a vegan diet, you know, do what works well for you. We're just here to help support and provide the science and the facts. But typically, when you assess a vegan, they're at a high risk for low protein, iron, folate, zinc, B12, magnesium even. So a multivitamin, saying that a multivitamin is sufficient is a very concerning and inflammatory statement to come out of someone who has a big following. So I would challenge that. I'd throw the challenge flag and say, you know, just because we take a pill, that doesn't mean that we absorb all of it. Just like, a, you know, our food that we eat. We don't absorb everything. Bioavailability plays a key role. So plants versus animals, like that's the thing with vegans, is they're not consuming the highest bioavailable sources of protein because you have the fiber, you've got to try and break that down. And that inhibits some of the leucine and some of the other amino acids. So that's why beef, chicken, fish, eggs are the highest biological bioavailable protein source because we can break it down and we can access it and we can actually absorb it versus plants, right? They have that defense mechanism from the fiber and the anti-nutrients. So they're not bad things, but vegans don't absorb the protein sources in the same way just because of that bioavailability.
Okay.
So
going off the bioavailability part, the meat itself, is there like certain meat sources that are more bioavailable than others?
Your steak and your bison are going to be higher. Eggs are always top tier, but
really?
Also the person. Oh, go ahead.
Why are eggs top tier? Just
because the egg protein, when you look at the amino acids. And I'm going to share some studies. So if anyone wants to nerd out, I have some studies and some articles to share after that you can take a look at and read from the last, you know, decade.
Yeah, we'll share them on our Facebook and stuff like that, and also put a link. So if someone wanted to do like a consultation with you and work with you, can you explain your program a little bit too?
They can book right through the website, nutritionwithwendy.com. We have consultations. We have coaching programs where we can actually, you know, get you in for labs. You do a DEXA scan so we can actually help you decrease your fat mass, increase your lean mass, and provide a specific nutrient program based on your labs and what your goals are. So anyone who follows maybe a vegetarian diet, maybe they're integrating some animal proteins, maybe a little bit of Greek yogurt or fish, you know, same thing for those folks too. You may think you're eating enough, but oftentimes you're not getting in enough calories as well. And that's something that vegans really struggle with, that they just don't know. And when we work with folks, we help them understand, hey, you know, if you are going to follow a plant-based or vegan diet, you're going to have to double your chickpeas, your soy, your beans, things like that. And that fiber will not make you super happy. And being that satiated, it's difficult to meet your needs. So I really liked your comparison question. You know, when people that eat meat, they tend to have more muscle, they have stronger bones, they're at a lower risk for diabetes, type 2, of course, obesity, and insulin resistance. So I'm not biased. I mean, I worked for the Dairy Council, but I saw firsthand so many people that, you know, maybe I met them when I was working for the Dairy Council and they told me that they were doing the vegan diet. And then 2 years later, I connect with them and they're like, I really took to heart what you said about the dairy protein. And I started adding in a little bit of Greek yogurt. I mean, man, my skin feels better. I actually have energy. My family told me that I'm better to be around. I'm less gassy. I have more energy, all those things. So I think that, you know, people understanding that it's great to be conducive to the environment, but the environment from a biblical standpoint, because I am a Christian, we are technically supposed to rule over the animals. It's not supposed to be the other way around, or this earth. You know, God created the earth for us to use and respect. So I just think that for vegans that choose to respect the environment, I really appreciate that. But for those that think that they're healthiest when they follow a vegan plan, unfortunately, that is not what the data supports. Most people that follow a vegan plan tend to be nutrient deficient in calcium, vitamin D, especially young girls as well. And they're, you know, losing their hair. They have weak bones. They have stress fractures. So just from a all case mortality as well, you know, it'd just be better to follow more of a balanced, eat both plants and animals for long-term health.
One of the things, I mean, obviously we're Christians too, and I really appreciate you saying that because that was kind of leading into my next question. Was like one of the things that I see argument wise is people debating in our posts was like one guy said we have a gallbladder, so we're supposed to eat meat, which I have no idea if that's true or what that even means. But I'm seeing people say things like you can tell we're supposed to eat meat because of the teeth we have. You can tell we're supposed to eat meat because of this. And obviously we take our guidance from the Bible. But what I'm hearing from you is that the perfect diet probably for most people is going to include some sort of meat source for us to operate like our bodies are supposed to.
You are right, Kyle. I'm sure you like hearing that. Everybody, Kyle's right here. Yes.
He hears it enough as it is. Mostly himself in the mirror.
Thank you, Wendy.
You brought back up just real quick with the supplement. So the multivitamin argument for a lot of people,
yeah.
Keep in mind that our supplements are regulated, but they're not as heavily regulated as our pharmaceuticals. So just because people take a multivitamin, that does not guarantee that you're meeting your nutritional needs. I mean, I could create something in my garage and it could have sawdust in it, and until the FDA can prove that I've made harm, it's not going to be pulled. So I would not rely on supplements. Obviously, if it's a third-party tested one, then it's going to be more beneficial, like if it's creatine monohydrate, or if you are doing vitamin D3 or magnesium, which a lot of people are deficient in magnesium, especially if they're not eating a lot of meat as well. But the perfect diet is colorful. It has a variety of nutrients so that you meet a variety of needs.
I kind of have a question. You were kind of saying like you're not anti-vegan by any means, if that's what works for you. Is there like a specific person out there that you think of that's like, oh, they should be on an all-plant diet?
To answer that, a type of person.
She's like, not a Christian. Well, no, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh, yes. I would say, so if I had, say, for example, say I had someone's labs in front of me and this person is, you know, they have their C-reactive protein, the marker for inflammation. Say this person was incredibly inflamed. What I would recommend is, obviously we know fruits and vegetables contain antioxidants, anthocyanins that reduce inflammation. That is consistent. And, you know, we need to eat at least 3 to 5 servings of fruits and vegetables per day. And we know too that fruit and vegetable intake is associated with a reduction in colon cancer, right? And a lot of other cancers. So we know that we need to have both fruits, vegetables, animal proteins, healthy fats as well, because there are water soluble and fat soluble, you know, vitamins. So to answer your question, if somebody was, say they were a cancer patient, they were seeing an oncologist, dietitian, that would be the type of person that I would say, yeah, this person has a lot of inflammation. They have a lot going on. They should be on more of a plant-based diet, but I would still have them integrate Greek yogurt, just because, as I shared, it does reduce inflammation. So they would do a lot of Greek yogurt and fish, salmon, white fish as well, halibut, fatty fish, and then probably some oysters. Maybe that person would be recommended a little bit less red meat, just because when we make room for more fruits and vegetables, then we can reduce the inflammation. But then once we get those labs in check, then we can start introducing more of the other animal proteins in the meats. And that's what's great about, you know, an elimination diet, or, you know, people that leave the processed foods behind. You were talking about McDonald's and fast food, right? You can still eat that stuff, but you have to watch the amount of it, right? It's all the dose is in the poison is in the dose.
Okay. That's interesting you say that specifically, because we were watching a video about what is the name of it?
Cyanocobalamin.
Yeah, and it's a form of B12, and they were talking about how they make it and then how it's based with cyanide, and how we have a single dose toxicity in the United States, where it's like if you take one dose and it's not enough to cause a bad effect, then it doesn't make the list, whereas other countries don't do that. They do a cumulative. So we're researching that B12, and we're partnered with Wilderness Athlete, who is third party tested, who's very focused on making super clean supplements. We've met the people, and I was like, oh my gosh, what if they use the wrong one? So I went and looked, and they used the correct one, which is methyl, I forgot what it is.
Yeah,
It's
that's
the
a big
proper B12.
methylcobalamin.
Yeah, but at the same time, getting the right stuff in from your food is just as important. Because you do wonder, like, when you take a multivitamin, like, how much is really getting absorbed, you know?
I always joke that they give you expensive pee.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it you do just pee out.
Yeah, my pee's like
True.
neon green right now.
That is true. You're 100% right. Because vitamin D2, or excuse me, D3 needs to be consumed with a fat source. So there's a specific, you know, if it's between 10 and 12 grams, it's best absorbed. Just like creatine monohydrate, I know that's one that vegans definitely need to supplement with because they're not consuming any sources of creatine.
So yeah, the creatine comes from like red meat and stuff. But what are they? So the supplement, what's it made out of though?
So creatine monohydrate, and I just have to preface this because I get this question 10 times a day. Creatine is not a steroid. It won't harm your liver. It won't harm your kidneys. It won't cause male pattern baldness. Creatine is safe, effective, beneficial, and every single person should use it. The studies are even supportive of infants as young as 6 months old. So creatine
Wow.
monohydrate is
Got a
a
yoked out
tripeptide.
baby.
It's three amino acids.
Yeah, the baby's
What
walk
was that?
the baby's walking
The
around.
baby's yoked.
Well, that baby has to also lift weights for it to also work properly. So,
We'll get it. We'll get it there.
Yeah, we'll get it. With your legs,
it's
you're not listening. No, I'm sorry.
Stand up.
We're back. Sorry, Wendy.
No, I love it. You guys are fun. You keep it fun. You make it enjoyable and light.
Thank you.
So what's in the supplement? So it's a tripeptide. It's three amino acids, right? Arginine, glycine, and methionine. So I just preface that people will say, well, it's a steroid though, and my doctor said that I shouldn't use it. And I get that all the time. And doctors only get about 6 weeks of nutrition. And I work with a lot of doctors as clients. So they really, I'm grateful they respect me. But just preface, just because your doctor said something about creatine or nutrition, I just recommend possibly getting a second opinion from the actual food and nutrition expert, which would be a registered dietitian. And I don't say that arrogantly. I just, in my experience, I asked the person to ask their doctor, well, why would they say that? And they said, well, it causes you to bulk up. Well, no, it's really hard to actually gain weight. You have to eat more calories, more protein. But the reason why creatine gets a steroid-like, character trait is because it has steroid-like properties. Its benefits are increased lean mass, supportive of, increase in bone mineral density, reduces inflammation, reduces trauma from a traumatic brain injury. It's also supportive of reduction in those that are sleep deprived. And that's because of creatine's mechanism of action, which is recycling ATP. which is our high energy source, or the energy currency of the cell. So if you're an athlete, you're someone that wants to think quickly and rapidly, you should want to have that ATP produced, right, and recycled. And the best way to, you know, build muscle, stay healthy, fight off age-related muscle loss is to supplement with creatine monohydrate. And Kyle, what's great is that it's actually being studied from a clinical standpoint as well, in reduction in type 2 diabetes, Alzheimer's, and dementia, which is really amazing. So for brain health, we can't do enough research in that area. So it's really great to see that data coming out.
I wanted to bring you on because of your specific knowledge. And the other thing that was really alarming to me too is, like, a couple people that I know from high school are now doctors. And then that scared me. You know what I mean? Like, oh goodness. Like that's, and like you said, it's only 6 weeks of training in that. And then, and it was 6 weeks of training. That's like literally, I like going to like school like that to be a doctor now is kind of like our profession, where if like you went and learned about camera equipment 4 years ago, everything you know is outdated. Yeah, every single thing you know is outdated. And it's kind of like that, whereas you're obsessed and studying this stuff all the time. You post about it every day. People need to follow your page as well. What's your handle? I'll put it on the screen, but what's your handle?
Nutrition with Wendy, and it's Wendy with an I.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, because people should be going there for their information, also booking a consultation with you. Or the reason why I say that is because the people that are watching the show, for the most part, other than this little cult of haters that we've cultivated.
How are they finding our stuff?
I don't know. They follow our page. And I'm not banning
great.
Them. They're helping our engagement so much that I'm letting it go. But God bless them. They're making us money. But the point is, the people that watch our show, for the most part, are hunting for their food. They're consuming wild game on a normal basis. So I've got two questions for you. The first one is, what is the difference between them frying it and them grilling it? Because one of our favorite things to do is, like, a fish fry is so fun. You know what I mean? Like, it's great. But what are your recommendations as far as frying versus grilling versus smoking, just for people, because those are the three main ways that we're preparing our meat.
So I went to school in Wisconsin, so fish fry, and I grew up, we did all the fishing. It's delicious. Obviously, it's not the healthiest, but what you can do, so if we just go through kind of quickly, number one, you never want to char your meat. So I think with smoking, it just depends, you know, what temperature you're cooking things to, and then, you know, what is the sauce that you're using. The fat content matters too, right? When something's a really lean cut, it's going to cook faster. And then obviously you could char it very quickly without even knowing it. So I think that really depends. I would never recommend charring anything, just because the research does support the, you know, carcinogens, and that is something that can cause inflammation in the body, which could be reduced by adding in colorful fruits and vegetables. Just a side note there. You want to limit and avoid frying things in certain oils. I would say if you're using coconut oil, or if you were to use olive oil or avocado oil, there's different smoke points too with the different oils. So I think that's something to remind.
Hmm? Jeff brings it up all the time. We are convinced it was fake.
So not, yeah. Right?
Anytime we're in the same
Anytime we're in
the same room as oil, he has to bring up the smoke
point of
it.
That's why people fry with a Pinot oil, because it has a really high smoke point, so they can get a higher
temperature. He's so glad you brought this up. Real quick, just so the audience knows, when she says charring, what she's referring to, because I did a bad job of playing into this, is that when you like kind of burn the outside of meat and it turns black.
Blackened.
Yeah. Char-grilled. The black lines on your burger.
Yeah, the things that you love.
But I'm in trouble because I cooked all my marshmallows as a kid.
Yeah.
By just lighting them on fire.
Black. You just don't have patience. I think we're talking to a nutritionist and you brought up marshmallows, but yeah, I get what you're saying. She's like, yeah, those are great for you.
Everything in moderation.
Yeah, she said.
Yes. All foods fit.
Everything.
So going back, charring and what is the ideal way if you are going to fry something and you're going to break the rules for a day, what is the right way to do it?
Right. So just to clarify too, the pan frying, like if you're frying something in a pan and you're just using the oil, that's different than deep frying something with panko crumbs and bread crumbs. Like you having that fried breading, that introduces a completely different nutrient profile. So when you're pan frying things with olive oil or avocado oil or different types of oils, that is different than, you know, getting the deep fryers. My dad, you know, walleye perch, yeah. I miss all those days. We deep fried those things. I mean, we were very active on the farm, but I would not recommend doing that every time, but you can do that. But I would recommend pan frying or sauteing or grilling, and then using obviously a more stable oil, which avocado oil or olive oil would be a good one. And you have the wealth of knowledge in there on the smoke points as well, because he did dietetics. I remember Kyle telling me about, like, we have someone on our team that was going to go to be a dietitian, yeah, but you did the right thing. It's not the best ROI.
Yeah, I went to school 12 years ago and then went into the automotive industry and then went into TV production. So there's a lot of practice.
But he's
did
do it.
I never even got the two letters after my name, let alone.
I think it worked out for you.
Well, maybe it's okay. Now that I've lost a little bit of weight since the beginning of the year.
Yeah. I think she meant the fact that you get to work with your best friend every day, and maybe you should be a little bit more appreciative.
That's a good side thing.
Yes.
The Greenway Outdoors is brought to you by Ram Trucks, built to serve. Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, your adventure starts here. Savage Arms, Nosler Ammunition, Boss Shot Shells, Wilderness Athlete, fuel for the rugged, Tracker Boats, fish the finest, Eagle Fishing, designed for the savvy angler, Rufus Teague Barbecue, snacks and spices, Rectech Grills, it's more than a grill, it's a way of life, Sea-Doo, make your own waves, LEM Products, motivating people to hunt, process and prepare their own food, Quiet Cat, the leader in electronic bikes for hunting, fishing, camping and exploring. Consistency. That's what you aim for with every practice shot. So when you're out in the field, you get that same consistency every shot. With Carlson's choke tubes, consistency is what you'll get. Our choke tubes are long-lasting, high-quality, and made right here in the USA. Carlson's choke tubes. Pattern-tested. Hunter-approved. Find out more at choketube.com.
Are you anxious to get going? Knowing that the clock is ticking and time truly is the most precious commodity in the world? Then you, my friend, are in good company.
So when you're breading it and deep frying it, there's a catastrophic difference that's happening then. As far as
catastrophic.
Yeah, kind of, right?
Such an alarming. I love that. Yes, there is. Just because, I mean, say you were to do, oh my goodness, my brother used Pringles when we were kids, but it's so funny because I'm a dietitian saying that. But what I would recommend is if you can use like a pork breadcrumb, actually those
like
panko
frosted
crumbs.
Flakes or something nice. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah.
I mean, yes.
Something healthy.
Put it back in the industry. I mean, Cabela's, my dad picks up all those things still and he tells me about it, but you can get those things. But yeah, if you use a more stable oil, it's going to help offset some of those dangerous effects, if you will.
Okay. So searing or grilling is a better way to go as far as health goes. If you were pan searing twice a week, deep frying once a month, and grilling otherwise, are you on an okay path?
Absolutely. I could say you could easily deep fry twice a month and then eat more fruits and vegetables, right, to decrease the inflammation, because that's what happens in the body, right, from the fried foods. But if you add in more water too, make sure everybody's drinking enough water, that helps us clear things out as well if our liver and kidneys are functioning optimally. But you can easily deep fry things a couple of times a month and be very healthy. I mean, I'm not here to tell anybody to completely change their lifestyle. And Kyle, I think a lot of the people that follow you, the ones that are not there to hate on you, they're eating whole foods. You know, they're not eating a lot of processed foods. So they could probably fry once a week and be completely fine because the rest of their nutrition is pretty on point.
Awesome. The
butter.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I got two questions again, and I know you got to go.
What is the deal with butter?
Because actually, I bought that organic pressed extra cold virgin pressed, coconut yeah. oil or whatever it is, but I normally like I'll cook eggs and just about anything else in butter. Typically, like that's my go-to as opposed to using any kind of oils because I just knew vegetable oils are bad. Am I thinking? And could be stupid, was like, at least my body knows what this butter is. You know what I mean? Like, that was in my head is, like, why I did that. What are your thoughts on butter?
First off, butter is not bad. And I'll say that again for the crazy people. Butter is not bad. Yeah. And I just think that it's crazy. When I'm on Twitter, I'm using Twitter a lot for social media, and people are posting about how butter is bad, but then there's also the crazy people that are putting butter in their coffee. And it's just like, okay, you're eating all this fat and then you're not eating enough protein. You're losing muscle, right? Because in order to build muscle, maintain bone density, we have to have a certain amount of protein. So Kyle, I think the context is key because butter is not bad, but I think it's bad when people don't eat enough protein and they're eating too much fat. And that's the whole premise behind, I think, why people failed with the keto and the Atkins and some of those other things is they're not eating enough protein. So if you balance it out and you have your, you know, butter, whether it's on your steak, your potato, but then also make sure you're eating enough protein and then obviously moving your body. You don't sit on the couch all day and watch the news. Definitely not CNN, but
nice. She's gonna fit right in.
You can coat your pan with butter, but don't start any recipe with, now you're going to start with a stick of butter.
Someone's fun police. The last question that I want to ask you is something that we partake in that more hunters are starting to become aware of. Meat Eaters made it popular. We've kind of made it popular. Is eating the liver and heart out of our game. So we've been eating liver and heart, and then that's pretty much as far as we've gone so far. And I've been pretty happy with it. I have still two more packages of bison liver downstairs, which are like this big. Mm-hmm. So it's like a big commitment for like everybody needs to want to eat liver today and tomorrow once I cook it. And then obviously I grew up eating the heart and knowing how to prepare it. What are your thoughts on organ meat and health benefits? And I had always heard that like wolves, like the alpha, you always know which is the alpha in the pack because when they have a kill, the alpha will come in first and he'll eat the liver out of the animal and then the other animals are able to come in and eat. And that's like a sign of dominance that the animals are aware that the liver is the most important part. What are your thoughts on that?
That's amazing. So from a nutrient standpoint, the liver is one of the most nutrient dense, you know, organs that we could consume and higher in creatine. So I support that. I think obviously, you know, we know that it's healthy for us and it's good for us, but I also go back to some people just can't get past the taste. And I think, you know, gamey too, for some people, my dad can't eat pheasant anymore. We used to have pheasant and like spit out bullets because they didn't take them out. But I think for, you know, I think it's great if people could actually consume more organ meat, that would be wonderful. But I do think for a lot of people, they just struggle with the aftermath and like burping it up or just the taste, and it's difficult for them to palate. Yeah. So that's where I say, if you can eat it, that's fantastic because it's going to contain the phosphorus, B12, all the critical nutrients, protein, it's bioavailable. But I think for a lot of people, it is just difficult to stomach the liver. You know, it just doesn't sit well with them.
Sure.
But if you do in smaller portions, you know, not everybody is like you, but some people who want to start eating more of it, 100%, I would rather you eat that than some crazy fast food fake burger, which we didn't get to talk about that. Maybe we'll have to have another show and talk about the plant-based meats.
I think so, because as I go, I just find myself having a bunch more questions. Yeah, we could go down the fake meat realm. Mm-hmm. There was one guy specifically who was arguing that, you know, they're making meat in a lab that is identical in every way to animal meat. And they're saying, so since it's identical, why wouldn't you eat that? You're just obsessed with killing animals. I was like, well, I don't want to eat man-made meat. And they're like, it's exactly the same. Answer my question. And I'm like, I don't want to.
It's identical that we know of. So eat it.
Yeah. It's like, see me in 10 years and then tell me what the effects are of that. You know what I mean? And we appreciate you coming on so much. One last time, we're going to put your website on the screen so that everyone can see it. Go visit Wendy. Honest to God, where are you going to find someone else with her credentials that is also going to be someone out there that's killing deer, right? I mean, mm-hmm. like, she's the perfect person for our audience to get their health on track. So if anyone wants to go find her again, it's nutritionwithwendy.com. And then obviously they can find you on all the social platforms as well. But thank you so much for stopping in today.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate what you're doing, and may the Lord continue to bless you and your work. And just, I really, really appreciate your time today.
Thank you. Thank you.
She's much better than AJ.
Yeah, I'm glad he wasn't here.